Okay. Our text for this installment of Lectionary at Lunch comes to us from John's first letter, 1 John, the third chapter, and we'll be taking a look at verses 1 through 3. So we don't have actually a great number of verses to be looking at, but the verses themselves are weighty ones, so I think we'll have every opportunity to say some significant things in response to these verses. Hopefully those things will be helpful to preaching and to teaching. So let's begin with verse 1, shall we? The verse begins with an imperative, with idete, see. You know, John's rather fond of marking beginnings with certain forms or vocables. The use of an imperative is one of those options that John has at his disposal to mark a beginning. The beginning here is marked by the aorist imperative active of horao, idete. Idete, see, is followed by the interrogative patapein. See what kind of agapein, love, the Father has given to us. Dedoken hemen ha pater. See what kind of, what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Hina tekna theou klethomen. So John here at the very beginning of chapter 3 at what constitutes a fairly significant midpoint of the epistle exhorts and encourages his hearers to a profound reflection upon the glory of our being loved by God, that having been loved by God has resulted in a glorious inheritance to us. We are now called children of God. So after hina follows the nominative by passive transformation, tekna theou, and then the aorist subjunctive klethomen. That hina clause functions epexegetically then to offer answer to the question, what kind? What kind of love? This kind of love. The sort of love that now has caused us to be called children of God. The next two words pause, you know, powerfully to emphasize the point, to underscore the point. With what follows, John declares, and we are. Kai esmen, we are this. You know, not only are we called this, we are this. What God calls us, we are. De atuta, for this reason, the world, ha kosmos, is not knowing us, u genoske hemas. For this reason, the world is not knowing us, because, hati, uk egno, it did not know him, autan. Now, it can't exactly be expected to recognize us, the children of God, that is to say, we're speaking of the world now. We can't reasonably expect, we shouldn't particularly be imagining that the world would be capable to recognize us if it failed to know Jesus first. Failing to know Jesus, it fails to know Jesus' brethren. It fails to have regard for the children of God. Verse 2. Agape toi, the vocative of agape tos. John addresses those who are beloved of God as his own beloved. Beloved, he says. Now, nun, children of God, tekna theou, we are, as men. We are the children of God even now. Again, underscoring the point, you know, paving the way for a point that he means to have follow. It's coming up here, but first he wants to say again, what God calls us, we are that, even now, nun. So nun is fronted in rather emphatic terms here. Even now, we are the children of God. But with the now comes quickly the suggestion of an all-important not yet. Kai, now, upo, not yet. Now, not yet has it been made manifest, ephanerothe. That's an aorist indicative passive of phanereo. Now, you know, alongside and at the same time, there is here also for us a not yet to speak of. While it's all important for us to know that we are the children of God now, there's also this not yet for us to be mindful of. Now, not yet, kai upo, has it been made manifest, ephanerothe, what te we will be, as samatha. It has not yet been made manifest what we will be. This is a fairly extraordinary statement. A statement for us to be pausing to dwell upon as significantly as he has previously encouraged us to dwell upon our glory, the present glory of our present status, given by God and enjoyed by us, the status of being the children of God. Alongside this, there is also this not yet for us to be mindful of. There is also this seemingly significant apostolic confession of ignorance for us to be mindful of. Of some importance, then, is John's apostolic confession of ignorance. The tension between the now and the not yet, between the nun and the upo, of matters seen and not seen, then, all of this, the now and the not yet, especially from John, all of it's typically Johannine. John exhorts his own to see with the eyes of faith a reality present in the now, though hidden, which only a future and final parousia of the Son will then make manifest. He's referred to that at the end of chapter 2. Only with that parousia of the Son, then, will this reality be made manifest, with the advent, that is, of the not yet. John's sole epistolary use of the adverb not yet, upo, not yet, offers an emphasis that would have been troublesome in his day to those who regarded themselves as liberated by a gnosis already possessed. His juxtaposition of the now, nun, and the not yet, upo, the is, but is not seen, and the shall be, when the veil is removed, and finally the unseen will be seen. All this builds upon statements John has already made. He has already spoken of the revelation of this world's many antichrists in chapter 2, verse 19. And so it is appropriate now that he speaks of the future revelation of the Christians. In spite of all the troubles or speaks to the contrary, those who believe are God's beloved children, even if, even when, their status as such is not yet evident. In point of fact, it is not. What we will be is what we are. What we are has not been made manifest yet, declares John. What we are, we believe. If we believe, we do not yet see. We walk by faith, that is, not by sight, as another has said. What we will be is what our God gives us reason to hope that we will see. But now we do not, except, that is, with the eyes of faith. As another of John's colleagues before him said it, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? Romans 8, verse 24. We continue then with the text of verse 2. If there's a now, there's a not yet, and now John dwells further upon the significance of that juxtaposition of both the now and the not yet for the believer in the present. Well, we know, he says, oidomen, that when he appears, when he is made manifest, okay, hati followed by eon, sometimes eon, if means when. So more than a few here will translate on with something like when. We know, oidomen, that, hote, when, on, phanerothe, he is made manifest, homoi oi auto, like him, we will be esamatha. He know that when he is made manifest, we will be like him. We know contrasts sharply with the previous reference to the world's failure. What the world has failed to know, we inclusively know. The heavenly exists in hiddenness, and yet ours is a confidence. Ours is a hope, born of the conviction, born of him, that a day will come when the hidden will be so no longer. All will be made manifest. The accomplishment of his first coming will be made manifest. When first he came to take away sins, when first he came to destroy the works of the devil, what we will be is not yet evident to the unaided eye, and yet we know exactly what to expect, what will come when he comes again and soon. We will be like him, says John. In spite of the fact, then, that it is not yet manifest what we will be, the believer knows what the world does not. The believer knows that when he, Jesus, is made manifest like him, we will be a child, beloved of God, just like Jesus. The believer, then, what believers generally are and ever shall be, alongside Christ their brother, children of their heavenly Father. He who has Christ as his brother has God as his heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the present though hidden glory that awaits the manifest experience of the same, that will come with his second coming when he comes again as the judge of the living and the dead. A hutti clause follows, because hutti apsamitha, we will see auton, him, Jesus, just as kathos, he is. John's thinking invites his readers, his hearers, to come full circle, because we know that ours will be the privilege of seeing in the not yet what sons and daughters alone are privileged to see. We know that like him we will be, because only those who are like him may see such things, may truly see what they and he together are. Like him we will be, because him we will see. Him we will see, because like him we will be. In the now, or in the not yet, it matters not. Only the Father's children are capable of knowing Jesus as their brother, as the Son that he is. Knowing him for what he is, they know themselves for what he has done for them, as the children he has caused them to become. Even when the identity of he and they in communion with him is not yet manifest. And so in another context, Jesus declares to his followers, the blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This they know, for this he has said is so. This they have taken to heart. So these are they who live in hope of a day when all God's children will not just know who they are, but will see who they are in all its manifest fullness, in the face of the Son. When seeing him, they will see themselves as he himself is. What they are even now will then be seen and fully known, when insofar as this is possible, Jesus too is seen and known by those who alone can do this, by those who have been made to know and so will be made to see God's Son as the brother that he came, he comes, and so too will come soon and quickly to be. Thus John refutes the unfounded speculations of others regarding the means by which a vision of God may be had. The vision of the unseen God is had by those who put their trust in the man Jesus, the Father's Son and Christ of God, who came to be like them so that they could be like him. Therefore, the vision of God is had by those who claim the same Jesus as brother, and so live in hope of a day when the manifest reality of their brotherhood in him will also be had with the parousia of their brother, God's Son. Verse 3. Now everyone who has this hope, after all of this talk about the now and the not yet, it's very appropriate for John to be speaking of our hope. Kai pas ha echon. The conjunction followed by the adjective pas and then the substantized participle ha echon. Now everyone who has this hope, tain elpida tau tain, in him, ep auto, makes himself holy, hagnitze heauton, just as that one, kathos ekenos, is holy, hageos estin. The one who lives in hope lives as one made one with Jesus, as one vested with a certain family resemblance in the form of the attributes of the Son whose childlike nature the believer shares. Thus the one who lives in hope lives as one who, believing this, aspires in all things to be what God has caused the believer to become, to walk as that one walked, to be pure as that one is pure. Because God's beloved Son is this, the believer is this. Because Jesus walked a walk that was free from sin, the believer likewise aspires and strives in all things to walk the walk that he too walked. The believer, the inner child, is this, becomes this, strives for this in all things, at all times, in the knowledge and conviction that through Christ, God in his love, has caused the one who believes to become the image and reflection of his Holy One, to share in his nature, in his person. Just then, as that one is pure, just so is the believer. No means then for purity other than the one that God provides, bestows, gives as a gift by grace through faith in Jesus is intended. In this sense alone does the sinner make self pure by receiving God's gift. John ends then, or at least this verse, kind of completes a thought then with a very important suggestion for us to communicate as we attempt to get after the sense of what John is meaning to address. He's not speaking of a self-acquired holiness. He's speaking of a hope and a belief and a holiness that comes to us and becomes ours as we become one with Jesus by faith. No means for purity other than the one that God provides, bestows, and gives as a gift by grace through faith in Jesus is intended. In this sense alone does the sinner make self pure by receiving God's gift. In this sense alone does the sinner make self pure by treasuring, by abiding in that which God has caused the sinner to become. The one whose hope is this hope desires, finds, and remains in that which Christ alone provides for those who long to be as that one is.